Now, back to Sound Advice on Business Radio 1300 KKOL.
Hi, I'm Susan Michaels.
And I'm Rick O'Brien, and this is Sound Advice.
Today, we're talking with Reba Haas. She's with Team Reba Real Estate. Welcome, Reba.
Thank you.
So, first of all, tell us how long Team Reba Real Estate's been around. And how did you get into this business to begin with?
Well,
personal history.
Okay. First of all, I do want to make sure and clarify, because as real estate agents, we always have to identify the brokerage with which we work. So I'm Team Reba at RE/MAX Metro Realty. We're based on Eastlake in Seattle. And so I have that disclosure out of the way.
Very good.
And I have been in the industry since 2003. I got in June 2003 after a 13-year technology career.
It's about 12 years then.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. So, and if I remember right, this particular, you've kind of changed a little bit as far as your business goes recently.
I have been expanding.
Expanding.
For sure, yes.
Okay.
I have definitely been expanding. That, of course, is partly due to what's going on, particularly within the real estate industry right now, because a lot of people are seeing expansion because, hey, yay, prices are back.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've seen since 2003 an undulation, of course. We had a lot of irrational exuberance before recession, and now we're kind of back to people wondering if we're back to that irrational exuberance.
Now, are we good for sellers or buyers or both?
Both. Which is an unusual situation.
You would think so.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation in that, yes, we have a lack of inventory from the seller side, which is good for them because they're finally building appreciation in their properties again. But the benefit, if you can say there was one from the recession, is that we have continued low interest rates. Most people, I don't mean to bash anyone, but we tend to not like math around here, it seems like. But a lot of folks have a misperception that price is everything when it comes to buying. But when you're financing something, it's actually interest rate that's your best friend. So I can give an example. My very first house I bought in the late 90s, and I remember back then being ecstatic that we got a 9% interest rate because we had just finally gotten out of double digits. So a lot of the millennials that are just now thinking about buying or getting into the age of buying
would not be ecstatic.
They're not even aware.
Interest rate, right?
Yeah, they're not even aware. I had a meeting with some clients that work for tech firms locally, and we were doing a kind of a historical review of the history of real estate in both Puget Sound and nationally. And they were born in 83 and 84. And so they're not even aware of the fact that in those years, we were in upwards of 16%
interest rate. Hard to believe that people are that young, isn't it?
I hate to admit that, but yes.
We must all be feeling pretty old today.
I still feel like I was back in 1986, but, you know, I was not just a baby then either.
So tell us what makes Team Reba stand out over other real estate companies in the area. What makes you special?
Well, I tend to really promote education. And not that there aren't other agents who want to promote education, but I really live it. You know, I've been teaching classes for 12 years on home buying, investment. We're actually also first-time home buyer classes through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. I actually do that on a volunteer basis. I've done it for organizations. I've done it at high schools. Also helped them with learning how to be a good tenant once they get out of school and begin to think about, even if they don't go on to college, depending, no matter where they're at in their lives and their finances, giving them ideas of how they can actually improve their situation. And
so you go into more dealing with real estate rather than just the buying and the selling of it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. You know, having come from the tech sector where there was a lot of innovation and change constantly, part of what kept me interested in that field was that I got to see all these really interesting things being created. And even today, I'm still seeing designs that I was early a part of, or at least aware of, still coming into fruition, coming into the marketplace. And it's only now 12 years later, finally getting to a place where my knowledge of that type of technology is now getting antiquated, and because I'm just not as exposed to it. But the difference is that real estate is ever evolving. So you're constantly having to pay attention to all of the factors around it. So it's evolving on the contracts we work with. It's evolving from the laws that we have to abide by. It's evolving from the membership changes, code of ethics, realtor organization, our local multiple listing service, the technology that serves our community, interest, mortgage, insurance, all of those things strongly impact our daily working life and the life of our clients. And so, you know, within and even just paying attention to what we in Washington have to do as compared to real estate agents outside of this area. My mom happens to be a real estate agent in Kansas.
Okay.
And at one time I was looking at getting licensed there to help her in her business and just kind of work both states because I was traveling back and forth between them quite a bit, helping the family. And when I began looking at the licensing for Kansas, I was shocked to see they had lower requirements to get into it. And we had just recently upped ours in 2009. And then their continuing education is woefully behind ours.
Hmm.
Here we have to have 30 hours of continuing education every 2 years for relicensing. There it's only 12.
That's a big difference.
12 in 2 years. And I can tell you the majority of real estate agents tend to kind of try and not be in the classroom setting. So part of what I feel sets me apart is that I relish that educational portion. And mm-hmm. for every renewal I've ever done, I have anywhere from 35 to 95 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I, you know, I'm constantly reading, constantly, you know, within learning about the people who and the industries that impact. So I know even when I have a choice on working with different mortgage people, if someone in the mortgage industry cannot explain a product better than I already know it,
mm-hmm.
they're probably not who I want my clients working with.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
And I've had friends who've gotten into the lending industry who I went 3 years before I would be willing to refer a client to them because I knew they didn't understand their products. And that's something that people in our state also don't know. There's a lot of changes that have happened from the recession as well, that licensing for home inspectors has changed drastically.
Hmm.
Licensing for mortgage professionals has changed drastically.
So these have all become more stringent? Is that?
Yeah, they've actually come to being. Yeah, most people do not realize that before 2009, in a lending office, only one out of 30 people needed to be licensed. Everyone else was just a
salesperson.
One out of 30.
Wow.
And so the big shift.
So did everybody funnel all the final approval to the one guy out of the 30?
They were kind
and
of.
How did that work?
They were the person that kind of monitored everyone else. And I actually, you know, from knowing lots of people who were in the lending industry, know that many of them were recruited specifically for their sales backgrounds.
Huh.
So the big shift in 2009 was to say, everybody needs to be licensed, meaning they need a minimum educational requirement
mm-hmm.
to get that license. And you wouldn't believe the throwing up of hands that occurred at that time. What? Why do we have to? Well, because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, or you could be putting people in a bad position. And
well, you want to protect the people who are, mm-hmm. you know, looking for the.
Absolutely, but that's not what their goal was at the time. One of the reasons we got into the recession was because there were people who were putting folks in loans that they had no business
yes,
putting them into.
I remember. Yes, definitely.
And having done short sales since 2004, before they were as necessary as they were, I've helped a lot of people that I saw the loan products that they were given, and you can tell that there were people taking advantage of folks who did not understand finance at all. And it was heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking to watch those things happen. And I can tell you about elderly clients. I can tell you about disabled clients. I can tell you about just regular people that just maybe didn't understand exactly what was going on. People you think are also really smart.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, you know, folks who were former Microsoft employees tell me about loan products that because they were so busy shopping the lowest initial interest rate that they weren't asking the right questions to know about, oh, what do you mean there's a 3-year prepayment penalty of 3%?
Yeah. So people I probably figured that the information. I mean, these were people who wouldn't, you know, feed them wrong information. They know, right? Is that part of it?
Meaning the lenders, they would know?
Yes.
Well, and again, if you're back to a time where you're all about sales, they weren't necessarily like, I as an agent, the law of agency requires me to put my client's needs before my own.
Mm-hmm.
Probably why you see so much burnout in real estate, because we're like, we give and we give. Yeah. But the idea of you put your client before you isn't really meant to be, hey, I'm your personal slave and I do whatever you tell me to. The idea is that you set aside what your issues might be. Like, I'll give an example. There was a huge fight that I got into in a blog that I used to write on. There was a site called, oh gosh, I'm going to forget that. I'm going to say it's Active Rain, but that's a different site altogether. But there used to be Rain City Guide. And it used to be a popular blog around here because it was one of the few that was around, and I was one of the guest writers on that blog. And I got into a colossal argument with one of the other writers on there because she was saying that there were buyer's agents out there purposely trying to screw their clients to get better commissions, and that they were not obligated to disclose the higher commission to their client. And we got into this huge online argument about that. And my goal, I'm also a realtor and was very actively involved in the Government and Public Affairs Committee at the time. And so when I speak on that blog, I'm coming at it from the realtor's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just my personal point of view. And I would always back everything up with Revised Code of Washington laws and things of that nature. And there is an agency law, you know, out there that people can peruse. They can put themselves to sleep at night with it. And it's pretty dull, but in it, it does talk about compensation. And we are required to put in writing what our compensation is.
Okay.
And so I called BS on her and said, that is not true. And if someone is doing that, then they are not following the law of agency the way it's intended. Because I know, like for my own buyer agency agreement, I state what I typically make. But I also say that it's at the instruction of my client where I get it. And if you're a member of the local multiple listing service, or Northwest Multiple, as we call it, or MLS, there's also the cooperative brokerage aspect.
We're going to take a short break and then come back in a minute.
And we'll be talking more with Reba Haas. She's with Team Reba Real Estate on Sound Advice.
We'll be back with more Sound Advice after this on Business Radio 1300 KKOL.